invaded Grenada with helicopter, gunship, Canadian people are asked to block all roads and obstruct the enemy's progress. Grenadian people are asked to block all roads and obstruct the enemy's progress. Grenadians are asked to report immediately to our respective militia bases. All doctors, nurses, and medics report to the hospital immediately. Our country is under attack.
On Sunday, October 23rd, the United States received an urgent formal request from the five member nations of the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States to assist in a joint effort to restore order and democracy on the island of Grenada. We acceded to the request to become part of a multinational effort with contingents from Antigua, Barbados, Dominica, Jamaica.
We are one region. Grenada is part and parcel of us, an organization, and we don't have the capacity ourselves to see to it that Grenadians get the freedom that they require to have to choose their own government.
We have taken this decisive action for three reasons. First, and to overriding importance, to protect innocent lives, including up to 1,000 Americans whose personal safety is, of course, my paramount concern. Second, to forestall further chaos. And third, to assist in the restoration of conditions of law and order and of governmental institutions.
Our troops will leave as soon as they possibly can. The forces of the other countries in the Caribbean who have initiated this action will be in the lead in working with Grenadians in trying to establish a law and order, and we will leave as soon as we possibly can, leaving the island to those who are closest to it.
Let us show the world that we want no hostile communist colonies here in the Americas, South, Central, or North. Thank you. God bless you, and good night.
Mr. President, the peace of the world is a matter that concerns not only the rich and powerful nations, some of whom produce, purchase, and deploy sophisticated weapons of mass destruction, but more profoundly, the poor, weak, and small nations, who are the victims of the squander and waste that are characteristic of militarism. The expenditure on arms and weapons of war is truly colossal and stupendous. As has been expressed elsewhere, more than United States' $300 billion a year is spent on arms and other military equipment and installations throughout the world. This astronomical sum, if spent on health, could build and equip 30,000 hospitals with 18 million beds. It could construct 20,000 factories with jobs for more than 20 million workers. In fact, $300 billion represents the budget of my country for 14,000 years. This says a lot for the small size of my country's budget, which is less than a fraction of the budget of most multinational corporations. But it also says a great deal about the enormous waste of financial resources expended on armaments by nations, some of which already have the capacity to wipe out the whole of mankind several times over. You can well understand, Mr. President, the deep concern that we harbor for peace.
Ambassadors and representatives of governments of the Americas, we meet here at a time when the world, and in particular the developing world, which we so amply represent, is faced by an alarming array of social and economic problems which we must collectively confront in an effort to attain genuine progress and development for our peoples. A century and a half ago, the great liberator, Simon Bolivar, the father of Pan-Americanism, spoke to patriots throughout the Americas of the importance of unity in the struggle for progress. The destiny of our English-speaking Caribbean is inextricably linked with that of our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters. Our entire region has a history of struggle for independence and freedom from domination. We cannot forget the first great revolution in our hemisphere, when on the 4th of July, 1776, the Congress of the United States declared that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. The people of the United States fought bravely for their freedom against colonialism and exploitation, so that in 1783, England lost all her original colonies in North America. Today, the peoples of Central America, indeed the peoples of Latin America and the Caribbean, must be allowed to decide what processes benefit their particular experience. Nicaragua has had a difficult past. For decades, its integrity has been trampled by the interventionist boot, and from 1936 to 1979 by the unparalleled tyranny of a family dynasty. What matters is the future of the people of the Latin American region as perceived by the people themselves. The region cannot be held to ransom or made to adhere to values and systems which others choose. The people of Central America can look at the experience of almost two centuries of their independence, decide for themselves why poverty and underdevelopment have pursued them so relentlessly, and then seek their own peaceful solutions to the problems.
As we celebrate African Liberation Day in Grenada, to be conscious of the extent to which this enemy that we call imperialism is the same enemy for Grenada as it is for Africa. It is important for us to try to reflect on how deep that link is, for us to understand that the same banks that try to exploit us in the Caribbean are the same banks that are exploiting our sisters and brothers in Africa. That the same big oil companies that are exploiting us in the Caribbean are the same big oil companies that are exploiting our sisters and brothers in Africa. That the same threats that Reagan and Haig use against us in the Caribbean, it is the same threats that they use against our sisters and brothers in Africa. That when they cut off their food agreement in Mozambique, so that our sisters and brothers in Mozambique will start to starve, they also cut off their wheat agreement in Nicaragua in the hope that the people of Nicaragua would also starve. That when they try to block economic projects for Angola and Mozambique and Ethiopia and Zimbabwe and other countries on the African continent, they also try to block such projects right here in the Caribbean. They use their CIA, they use their IMF, they use their international lending agencies to try to see in what ways they can also block the economic development of our sisters and brothers in Africa. Black people ain't supposed to rise up. They ain't supposed to have no rights. And the poor and the oppressed of the world generally, those people who are fighting for their liberation, those people who are not willing to roll over and be stepped upon, they don't have no rights. For them is the ruler, is the big stick.
That is the way in which they operate. And we are not supposed to fight back. These people, comrades, are also going to have to understand that whenever we have to make a choice between rolling over and kneeling down and bending over and bawling, yes, master, kick me, please, and standing up, we always choose to stand up.
I would say that in terms of my own political development, I do not regret anything that has happened to me. I do not regret anything I have done, basically, though there might be, you know, different ways I would have done some particular things. I do not sit down and reflect on my father's murder in terms of revenge for it or any such thing, or on my own beating in a similar way, or the murder or beatings of other colleagues. I think that what we have tried to do, certainly what I try to do, is to see before me an image of where we are going and what we are trying to build, and not let our personal positions and personal problems come into it. We have had to take a lot of sacrifice over the years. The strain of meetings, for one. I mean, there are times when, quite frankly, I say to myself, well, I'm not talking, I refuse to talk, I'm not going, right? But I find myself dressing and going into the car and sitting down, right? But, you know, the sacrifice and so on is there. But in terms of the personal thing, I can't honestly say that I ever find myself really worrying about that or thinking about it, you know, thinking about being assassinated tomorrow or any such thing, right? It's not something I spend any time at all on. I just see it in terms of a job that has to be done, a vision we're trying to reach, that really we are just figures on the stage towards that goal, that if we fell tomorrow, hopefully our work would ensure that there's a sub-leadership that can take over and continue, and that the goal does not get jeopardized as a result of one people disappearing, you know. And that is the sort of perspective I hold on that.
From the moment that the people of Grenada overthrew the corrupt and violent Gary dictatorship over 4 years ago, a major part of our domestic program has been the building of an infrastructure. We have established agro-industries and banks and have built factories. We are also in the process of rehabilitating hotels, diversifying agriculture, and we are proudly building our first and only international airport in our history.
On the small island of Grenada, at the southern end of the Caribbean chain, the Cubans, with Soviet financing and backing, are in the process of building an airfield with a 10,000-foot runway. Grenada doesn't even have an air force. Who is it intended for? The Caribbean is a very important passageway for our international commerce and military lines of communication. More than half of all American oil imports now pass through the Caribbean.
Mr. President, I raise with you a matter of grave concern to the government and people of Grenada. This is the systematic campaign of destabilization, threats, and lies against Grenada by a major power of this hemisphere, indeed of the world.
The rapid buildup of Grenada's military potential is unrelated to any conceivable threat to this island country of under 110,000 people, and totally at odds with the pattern of other Eastern Caribbean states, most of which are unarmed.
The United States rehearsed a plan for military intervention in Grenada in an operation codenamed Amber and the Amberines in August 1981. The United States began a campaign of aggression against Grenada using all conceivable means. For example, they have used and are continuing to use economic destabilization, putting pressure on all international and regional financial institutions in an aggressive campaign to block loans and grants which are badly needed for the development of Grenada's economic development program.
One columnist argued last week that we shouldn't care because their products are not that vital to our economy. That's like the argument of another so-called expert that we shouldn't worry about Castro's control over the island of Grenada. Their only important product is nutmeg. It isn't nutmeg that's at stake in the Caribbean and Central America. It is the United States' national security.
The United States government, sisters and brothers, has a well-documented history of dealing with countries which it has deemed threats to its national security. The United States has intervened militarily in this region alone well over 100 times in the past 100 years to protect its so-called national security interests. When the commander-in-chief of the most sophisticated, most advanced, and largest armed forces in the world chooses to classify a small, proud, and determined people as a threat to his national security, and when his top advisors and military personnel indicate that the time has come to put teeth into their rhetoric, then it is clear that Goliath has finally turned his full attention to David.
In the United States, began a landing or landings on the island
of resistance, a mop-up operation.
Those conditions of law and order and of governmental institutions
forces in Grenada. But when reporters and photographers got their first brief look, they saw American firepower hammering the island. Machine gun fire.
The United States has the right to invade another country to change its government.
But I don't think it's an invasion, if I may answer that question.
And just blew them away.
The military says only
military forces.
Troops are manning strategic roads with tanks.
By remaining inside your homes until advised that it is safe to go outside.
All Grenadians are asked to come out and defend our country.
All Grenadians are asked to report immediately to our respective militia bases. All doctors, nurses, and medics report to the hospital immediately.
Plainly, this was quite secret.
Of 110,000 people. Has been invaded by a country of 220 million people.
Around the world right now, outside this country, it is perceived that America has not acted to protect a country that asked for help, but rather has finally found a war she can win, picking on a smaller adversary.
The U.S. command now admits, with some embarrassment, that there really aren't many Cubans in those hills.
Sir Paul said he was pleased with the results of the invasion.
I must say the Americans did a jolly good job. I would like them to remain here as long as it is necessary.